Hello and welcome to another Thought for the Day from New Milton Evangelical Free Church. We're looking at Paul's letter to Titus, and we're in chapter 1, and we're going to be looking today at verses 4 and 5. Let's pray as we come to God's word. Precious Heavenly Father, we pray again that you open our eyes and our hearts and our minds to your word, that it may have the effect upon us which you intend by your Spirit. The same Spirit who wrote these words and intended them for us. Help us to read them in his light so that we can understand them and apply them to our lives as individuals as we walk with Christ and as a fellowship as we live together with our brothers and sisters. In his name we pray. Amen. So let's read Titus chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. To Titus, my true son, in our common faith. Grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Saviour. The reason I left you in Crete was that you might put in order what was left unfinished and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. Perhaps when you were a child you played the card game of pairs, where you have a set of cards with pictures on, and each picture has a twin, an exact duplicate. And the idea is that you put the cards face down and you take it in turns with your competitor to turn one over and then turn it back again. And then someone else turns a card over and turns it back again. And the object of the game is to find out where the matching pairs are and to bring them all together, and you win each pair as you do so. Well, Paul, in his letter to Titus here, in these verses, has a few pairs for us to consider. And sometimes he writes with a particular flourish in such a way as to put things together so that we can remember them easily. So whether this is his intention or mine, I've called these 3 points this morning our love, our Lord, and our leadership. Starting is important, isn't it? We have a proverb which says, start as you mean to go on. So as you set out in the faith, so you are to continue. Paul says to the Galatians, having begun well, are you not going to continue in the same way that you started? You started in the spirit. Are you going to be finishing in the flesh? So it's important to maintain the way that we begin in the way that we continue. So when Paul is talking to Titus about setting up churches, it's important that Titus gets the start right. So let's look at some of these pairs. First of all, in verse 4, we see the way that Paul addresses Titus as his true son. So here we have a father and son pairing in our common faith. And you'll probably be aware, if you're a believer in Christ, that when you became a Christian, you were introduced into the Christian family. The church consists of relationships. And if you like, what God has done in creation is he's given us a picture of what the church is. So just as you have a mother, a father, brothers and sisters, sons and daughters in your family, and these relationships are closer than relationships that you have with others in the world, even though they might become good friends. Sometimes things go wrong in relationships, don't they? And we don't find that they are as they should be, and that is sad and it is hurtful. But when you become a Christian, God introduces you into your new spiritual family. And Paul is obviously very fond of Titus. As far as we know, he had no earthly sons, but he calls Titus his spiritual son. In other words, Titus is a product of Paul's ministry, an offspring, if you like. What binds them together in this familial relationship? It is their common faith. And I hope that you have had the experience of finding how God uses such provision. That when you have need of somebody alongside you, somebody who needs who you need to perhaps put an arm around your shoulder, someone that you need to step out in front as a mentor or rebuke or advise you in some way. What God has done is provided one of his people to do that for you. Our love in Christ is basic to the building of Christ's church. It was Jesus on the night that he was betrayed who said to his disciples, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. By this all men will know you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Let's look at the second pair, what I've called our Lord. And in this, we see that there is what I've called God's dynamic duo, two things that are often twinned together. But the first pairing we must look at is another father-son pairing, God the Father and Christ Jesus, our Saviour. He doesn't say much about that, but there it is, God the Father, Jesus the Son. And just as he says, "Titus, you are my true son in our common faith," it's almost like unwritten that he says, and this parallels the fact that Jesus, our Saviour, is God's son. But here are the two aces talking about card games. There's grace, grace, and peace, peace, a pair of aces indeed. God's triumph, God's trumping, grace and peace. What is grace? Grace is God not giving you, sorry, mercy is God not giving you what you deserve, but grace is God giving you what you do not deserve. So right from salvation onwards, what God does is pour his blessing into our lives, fills us with his goodness, and none of it is anything that we could earn for ourselves. It comes from his love. It comes from his heart. It comes because of grace. And the second one of that pair is peace. What does that produce within us? It produces peace with God. There is no enmity between us and God, no hostility. There's no fighting of purpose, ours against his, our will pitted against his. There is this unity, this desire to achieve the glory of Jesus and to bring honor to him. And what that does is it settles your heart and it gives you a strength of peace within that actually permeates through your life. So much so that that peace should actually be a governing factor in all that you do and say. All that you can be in the world is controlled because of this peace that comes to you from God the Father and Christ Jesus, your Saviour. Our love, the family in faith. Our Lord, God's dynamic duo, Father and Son. And the two aces, grace and peace. Then thirdly, our leadership. And here's Paul's commission to Titus. "Why am I writing to you, Titus? Because I left you and I went off to do what God wanted me to do, but you stay behind in Crete. Why was that? It was so that you might accomplish a mission that I had given you. I left you so that you might put in order what was left unfinished, and appoint elders in every town." What's going on here? Well, Paul had preached the gospel in Crete. People had become Christians. They'd trusted Jesus as Saviour. They'd received the Spirit whom God promised to those who believed in the name of Jesus. And there they were, this new community brought together out of the work of God. And Titus, it was, who was commissioned to actually form them and get some sort of structure in there. And the primary thing to do when you're setting up a church is to look for its leaders. Notice this. Titus is not told to appoint priests. That's Old Covenant. Jesus is our only high priest, and he has made redundant every priest forevermore. He does perfectly what any priesthood now is designed to do in the Old Covenant. And there is no need for priests to be appointed. Neither does he appoint apostles, and this is important. The Roman Catholic Church, the Catholic Church, has insisted that there are modern day apostles. There are many other churches who say the same thing. People who can be given the task of leadership in a way that parallels the New Testament apostles. But Titus is not commissioned to call these new leaders of the church apostles. They are appointed elders of the churches. And the word is plural, elders in every town, more than one elder in each town. So we get these clues in the New Testament as to what our churches should be built like. So we are to find that in our church, there should be this familial love, this family relationship. Goes without saying that we should respect and know intimately the lordship of Christ and the way that God is central to all that we do and say. And also that God means us to have godly men as leaders. And Paul, Titus will hear Paul talk about that at greater length a little later. So are you in Christ's church? Are you a member of this body which Christ sets up so that you might be blessed and benefited? There is no such thing as a Lone Ranger Christian. We are designed for fellowship. And it's important in these days of lockdown that when things have settled and we can come back together again, we pick up this business of being together in a body so that we can continue to minister to one another and bring glory to the name of the Saviour. It's on hold at the moment, as we might say, but it will actually be there again. And it's important that we meet together regularly so that we accomplish what God intends in his church. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we thank you for the glorious work that you do in building your church. We thank you that it encourages us. It is designed to secure us and make us safe and stable, to build us up in our faith, to make us more like Christ, both individually and together. And we pray that in our churches that might be so. We thank you for godly men who you appoint to eldership so that they can lead us aright. And we pray for every one of them that they may be filled with your spirit and know your wisdom and your love as they do so. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.